Okay, Rabosai, so what we have for today is a sugya on Daf Nun Tesamid Beis, on Daf Samach Almad Aleph. Let's just give a quick review of what we know. There are three Mishnayos, one after the other. If you have the Mishnayos, you'll open up. On Nun Tesamid Beis, we have the case of Shalosh Noshim. Maybe we'll just close the door, it would be helpful for me. I'll get it. I gave it back to you. Yeah? Okay, so if you're looking at the Mishnah here on Daf Nun Tesamid Beis, so then we have the Mishnah of on the bottom of the page, right, Alan? The bottom of the page?
Right.
Okay, is Gimel Noshim Shaloshu Chalok Echad. Okay, Kulam Tmeo. So it means we don't know which one of these women to attribute the kesem to, then they can't choose one over the other, right? It's not like the case that we discussed at great length in the past where you could point your finger at one of them and say she's already Mekul Keles, so Tolin is Akilkul Bimekulkul. Here they're all three in the same situation, therefore we're Mitame all three. That's Mishnah number one. So three women wore the same chalok, bazech or zeh. Now on Daf Samach Amid Beis, we have the Mishnah of Shalosh Noshim Shayushenos B'mita Achas. So here it's all one suffix B'mas Achas. B'nimtza Dam Tachas Achas Mem Kulam Tmeos. But here the Mishnah is a proviso that Bodka Achas Mehem. So after the Metzias HaKesem, one of them checked herself, and we'll see exactly when she checked herself, correct? The nimtzeis tmeya, and she found herself to have dam, is then he tmeya ushtehen tahoros, vitolos zu bezu. So the impression you get from the Mishnah is that now tmeya operates because one of them is tmeya. That's the second Mishnah. Okay, then we have a third Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph.
Omer Aleph.
And there the Mishnah says that Sholosh Noshim Shoyuvi Yeshenos Vimita Achas. And again, they found Dam under one of them. And the Mishnah qualifies and says, Bodka Achas Mem Venimtes Tahora. If one of them checks herself and finds herself to be Tahora, he Tahora Ushtaim Tmeos. Okay, but kushtayim u'matzu tahoros, hein tahoros u'shlishis tmeya. However, shloshtan u'matzu tahoros, then kulam tmeos. Because once again, even though they all check themselves, we have to attribute the kesem to somebody, and we can't point a finger at anybody. No one's excluded from the suffix, and therefore they're all in the suffix. We have to be mitame all three of them.
Why no makolos?
And there's no makolos, there's no shuk, there's nothing. None of the other factors of tliya are relevant. Let's say it was Yosef Mikagris, she didn't go into shuk shal tavachim, whatever it might be. So the only possibility of tliya in these mishnayos is to blame it on one of them, and assume this kesem came from one of the three ladies. If we can do so, because one of them checked herself and found herself to be tmeya, that's fine, we'll be told on her to the exclusion of the others. If on the other hand, one of them checked herself, or two of them checked themselves and found them to be tahoros, we could remove them from the suffix, but now the finger, you know, we have to point the finger at the third one. Now again, Rabosai, there are a number of points here just to keep in mind. If there's a discrepancy in time between when the kesem came into being, meaning when the dam came out of her body, we don't know whose body it came out of, and the time of the bedika, then it's possible that even though she found herself to be Tahora, this kesem still might be hers. She slept in the bed and it might be her kesem. Why are we mitar her? And the answer is perhaps we're using the principle of Tliya, that since, you know, she can blame it on the other two, one of the other two women who slept in the same bed, because she found herself to be Tahora, and therefore she reduces the logical probability that this dam was hers. And the second point, which is the most important point for us, is why is it that these Mishnayos appear consecutively in such a way that the question of Bedika doesn't even come up in the first Mishnah. The Mishnah completely omits mention of Bedika. Presumably that has something to do with the fact that it was a Bazach or Zeh situation where, you know, the first woman wore the chalok on one day, the second on another day, and the third on the third day. And therefore there's no possibility of using bedikos here. Bedikos makes sense when it's when all, you know, all three spekos are tied down to one moment of time, and then you can say at that time she did a bedika, but each woman would have to do her bedika immediately after she wore the chalok. And that's not the case. Again, the third woman is in a special situation, and that's what we're going to discuss in the Ramban today, Bli Neder. But certainly if we take the first two ladies, they wore the chalok 2 days ago, 1 day ago, they never did a bedika on time, and that bedika would never be... Okay, all this makes no sense, but it'll make more sense as we go along. But keep in mind, and that's important, that the qualifications that the second Mishnah and the third Mishnah make about bedikos are completely missing, are completely omitted from the first Mishnah. And that would seem to be a deliberate decision on the part of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi when he wrote the Mishnayos. Now, the first question we have to ask is, when were these bedikos made such that those bedikos could have an impact on the kesem in determining who either is bechlal the suffik or who's excluded from the suffik, who's bechlal the suffik in the case where she found herself to be tmeya, who's outside of the suffik in the case where she found herself to be tahora, and secondly, why the first Mishnah doesn't mention a word about bedika. Okay. Now, the last year, we spent most of our time on a few lines of Gemara here on Daf Samach Amud Beis. And this is the middle Mishnah, the Mishnah of Shalosh Nashim Yeshenos B'mita Achas. The Mishnah says that all three are Tmeos, but if one checks herself and finds herself to be Tmea, then the other two are Tahoros, and they could be Tola on her. Amar Yudam Arav. That's only for husha bodka atzma bishir veset. That means that one of these three ladies, immediately after the dam was found, the kesem was located, she made the bedika. That's called kashir veset. Shir veset means immediately. Then, says Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, we can be tola this kesem on her, because basically the sheer veses creates a kind of simultaneity, meaning halachically it's considered like tokidei divur. If two witnesses testify tokidei divur, it's as if they testified simultaneously. Here too, there were two events of major proportions here, major significance for us. Number one, she found the kesem, or they found the kesem, and number two, she made a bedika. In order to link up that bedika with the metzius hakesem, we need what I call a tokidei divur. That's called kishir veset. Now, how does Rav know that if these two events took place in such close proximity, then it's as if they took place simultaneously? And the answer is because Rav is standing on the shoulders of Barpada, and Barpada says that if a woman has Tashmish, and then immediately after Tashmish she makes a bedika, and she finds herself to be Tmeya, and what does that mean immediately? It means Kishir Vest. Then the Baal, and presumably the Isha as well, has to bring a Karban Chatos. So the obvious question is, what do you mean a Karban Chatos? Maybe she didn't see the dam until after he was Poresh, he terminated the Bia. Why are you saying he's Chayav and a Chatos? Okay, I admit to you that there's a very logical probability even that she was already in Nida during the Tashmish, but I don't know that for sure. Why is it that Barpada insists that he brings a chatas? A chatas is only possible if there's a vadai. And the answer is because the halacha views kishir veses as if the dam already was there in her body a moment again, I shouldn't use that word moment, but right before she made the bedika. The right before she made the bedika is at the time that he was still involved in being mishamish. So do you follow what's going on over here? The chiddush of Bar Papa is, of Bar Pada, excuse me, is that she made the bedika immediately after he was poresh, but it was so immediate that the premise is that there was dam already before she made the bedika, in a very short span of time called Kishir Veses, and therefore the Baal is chayav akar mechatos. Not only that, but says Bar Pada taharoseh atmeos, which is a different case. A woman was osekes bi taharos, let's say she was dealing with truma at time T1. T2 is kishir vesa, she makes a bedika and she finds herself to be tmeya. That truma, says Bar Pada, has to be burnt. And why do we burn truma? Only if it's vadai tmeya. So just, Bar Pada is being very consistent here, just like the Baal has to bring a karma chatos because of vadai tmeya, so too the taros have to be burnt because it's a vadai tmeya. The Gemara therefore says that when the Mishnah qualifies and allows for Tliya, if she made a bedika, one of the three made a bedika and found herself to be Tmeya, that's because the bedika links up immediately to the Shas Kesem. The Shas Kesem, she made a bedika immediately afterwards, Kishir Veses, and therefore the Kesem is now connected to this dam that she finds in the bedika. The other two women could automatically point their finger at her and say, we're tahoros, and she's the guilty one. Then the Gemara goes on to say that Rav Oshia rejects Bar Pada, and Rav Oshia says that we don't burn the taros, but tolin. Tolin means it's a suffix. We don't know if these taharos that a second ago she was Osekes, and now a second later she made a bedika, she found herself to be Tmeya. We don't know for sure that she was already Tmeya at the time, a second earlier, when she was Osekes Pitaros. And therefore we're left with a suffix. What do we do with a suffix in Taros? We don't know if the truma is Tmeya or not. Tolin. We let it stand. We can't eat the truma. We can't let the Kohen eat the truma because it might be truma tmeya. We can't burn the truma because you can't burn truma tahora. It might be tahora. Right. Says Rav Oshia, but baila b'chatos. Now the Gemara says this is inconsistent. If you're telling me that kishir vest creates a vadai and it links me up to the second before and she saw a dalp a second before and she didn't see it but it was there, then I understand why Rav Oshia says that she has that she and he have to bring a karma chatos, but then we should be burning the taros. And if you tell me we can't burn the taros because even despite the shir vest it's only a safek, is then why does the Baal have to bring a chatos? And here Rav Oshia says the fine distinction bishle mahasam with regard to tashmish is Amar, we're going to suggest that the shamash ikve ladam. Like the Gemara is going to give an example that if you press your finger against your eye, the wetness, the moisture will not come out. But as soon as you remove your finger, the tears flow out. You know they you're putting a barrier. Now the dam, you remove the dam, and the water bursts out with a force. Here too, the shamash kept the dam from going out. Immediately after the shamash was removed, the dam came flowing out. The shamash was ma'akiv the dam, and now there's no longer a shamash there. That's why she found the dam. So you're asking me, Akasha, why didn't she see the dam already during tashmish? The answer is because the shamash was holding on to that dam as a barrier and keeping it from coming out. But she found the dam immediately kishir veses after he was poresh, because now that he's poresh, is the dam that he was ma'akiv, that the shamash was ma'akiv, now comes out. However, that doesn't apply in the case of a woman who is working with taros, and now after she finishes her job with taharos, she does a bedika. Even though the bedika was kishir vesa, says Rav Oshia, I have no way of clarifying that she already had dam at the time that she was osekes b'taros. Because if she did have dam at that time, how come we didn't see that dam? There was nothing that was ma'akiv the dam. And therefore, says Rav Oshia, as far as the status of the taros is concerned is tolin. We have a real bona fide suffix. We don't know if she had dam already at the time she was osekes b'taros, or she did not. As far as baila, it has a din of vadai, because we're going to add into the equation this element of hashamash ma'akev es hadam. Now the question is, the Gemara doesn't flesh out, well, how does this bear on our Mishnah of Tliya? Our Mishnah says she made a bedika, she found herself to be Tmeya, and now the other two girls are Tahoros because they can be told on her. Well, that makes sense if she's a Vare Tmeya. The impression you get is that the Gemara is being mamid the Mishnah according to Bar Pada, but Enechinami according to Rav Hoshea, there's no possibility of Tliya here, because Tliya means I know that she's a Tmeya. Well, I don't know that she's a Tmeya, because why didn't the Dam come early? It only came later when she made the Bedika, and that, according to Rav Osher, creates a Suffolk but not a Vadai, so we'll have to treat her as a Tmeya, but not enough to the extent that we can be Tola for the other two women who slept in the same bed. And on that, we're going to have a Graysa Pluta, a tremendous Machlokas here in the Masifta. He quotes a sefer called Pischei Nida, who says that there's still a possibility within the framework of the sugya of assuming that the Mishnah is like Rav Oshia, that even though Rav Oshia says the Bedika could only create a Safek Tuma, but maybe we can allow in the case of a Safek a din of Tliya. But what I suggest is that in order to appreciate this Pischei Nida, we should first see the Rush inside, and that's going to be our first goal. Let me just make sure that we've actually covered the entire summary that I wanted to give you of the last shiur. Okay, before we get to the Rush, we mentioned last shiur the Ramban and the Ravid. The Ravid I don't have access to. It's in a sefer called Tmim Deim by the Ravid. I believe that somewhere in Harnof I have a copy of it. But don't hold your breath. If Yechiel was here, he would pull it out in a minute from the computer, because he's a genius at that. But he's torahed with his children right now, so he couldn't come to shiur. And you're going to have to take it now on faith, face value, that the Ravid agrees with the Ramban. So let's see the Ramban. The Ramban is here in Hilchos Nida, Perek Dalet. And there are three paragraphs at least that we have to see. The most important one is the third, but I suggest for Shlemus we should see the first two paragraphs as well. So the first paragraph is Lamed Zayin. And if you'd like, we'll photocopy for this for you. Shalosh Nashim Hayushenis B'mita Achas. So the three women are sleeping in the same bed. B'nimtza Dam Tachas. Achas Mem Kula Tmeos. There's another point in the Ramban which I'm deliberately omitting because it'll get us confused and off the path. The Ramban is going to ask, since the dam was found underneath one of them, why don't we assume that she was the one who was responsible for this kesem? But the Ramban has something called Mishulavos, Zubazu, their legs were somehow intertwined. I'm not getting into that. Okay. Now, Bodka Achas Mehen Es Atzma Miyad, which is probably what we call in the Gemara Kishir Veses, Vinimtza Dam. But I'm sorry. Just one second. Did I skip something? Just give me one second. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize here. The Ramban is switching around the order here on me. I thought he would start with the case of the middle Mishnah, namely where she made a bedik and she found herself to be Tmeh. So I don't know where that is in the Ramban right now. So let's just hold off with the Ramban for one more minute. Let's learn the third Mishnah. The third Mishnah is on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Correct? And what happened there? Shol shnas shom nitachas. And then it says, bod ka'achas mehen, v'nimtzeis tahora, hi tahora, ushtayim tmeos. Okay? So on that Mishnah, the Ramban writes, because keep in mind, this Ramban is Hilchas neither, so he's not committed to follow the sequence of the Mishnais. Unless I'm falsely accusing him. I don't know, maybe there's an earlier paragraph that I'm not finding now. But right now, I find Lamed Zayin. And he says, Bodka achas v'achas man atzma miyad u'motza atzma tahora. Harei hashtayim tmeos v'hi tahora. Bodku shtayim v'nimtza tahora harei shtehen tahoros v'achas, meaning the shlishis is tmeo. Bodku kulon umatsu atzman tahoros, or kulon tmeos. Shadam ze mehen ba, vi enkan raya shenitla bi achas yosef michavrita. Oh, here he quotes the first Mishnah. I don't know why he switches the order. Bodka achas man miyad umatsu tmeo is hashtayim tahoros shetolos hakesem bazu. That's number Lamed Zayin. Now let's take a look at number Lamed Tes. Lamed Ches is again that discussion about the fact that the dam was found under one of them. Okay. Lamed Tes. Vamedvar mamurim shebodku kulan umatzo tar o shalobodka achas mehen. Aval in bodka achas mehen miyad umotza tahora v'chaverta lo bodka tola hatahora bezu shelo bodka farei zu shelo bodka tmeo. Okay, so far so good. Okay, let's just summarize again what the Ramban is saying here. If one of them made a bedika and she found herself to be tahora, her friend did not make a bedika, the tahora could be tola on the friend who did not make a bedika and say she's the balas hakesem, she's the tmeo. In the flip case, she checked herself and she found herself to be tmeo, then the other women can be tola on her because she made this bedika miyad. What is miyad? Says the Ramban, Bodkat miyad kishero hakesem. In other words, immediately after they found the kesem, there are three women sleeping in a bed together, and they found the kesem. They're all in the bed, and one of them, immediately after they find the kesem, makes a bedika, and this bedika was tokedei shir vest. So she is tmeya, and we assume we can attribute the kesem to her, and the others are tahoros.
But we have no idea how long there was between the bedika and the kesef.
He's saying it was miyad. So I'm assuming that miyad is the same as sheer vestis.
Yeah, but you don't know how long the kesef has been there.
Oh, excellent. You're ahead of me, Alan. I'm going to come to that kasha. That's going to be the kasha that's going to break apart this whole sugya, because who cares about the time of mitzias hakesem? The kesef might have been there for who knows how many hours. The night is long. So the kesem might have appeared at 12 midnight, let's say, and they only found the kesem at 7 in the morning. So what's this whole business about kashir vesis? It doesn't make sense. But the Ramban goes out of his way to point out that the shir vesis is misha matzu es hakesem. So some magical halacha here that shifts the emphasis from the time emphasis from time T1 when who knows when the dam came out of her body and the kesem was laying there unbeknown to them until they found the kesem 7 hours later. For some reason, the bavasachas here that allows tlia is the bavasachas of the mitzias hakesem.
So we're saying the mitzias hakesem, by definition, means is that we're assuming that the kesem just appeared.
Yeah,
it wasn't there before.
Right near it, right now appears.
It's a poof.
Yeah, so that has something to do with what's called a chazaka to meikara, but we're not ready for that. Okay, so keep it in mind. There's cheskas hashta, cheskas meikara, and we're gonna have something to say about that. But I just want to finish up the presentation of the Ramban. Now we're skipping to Mem Al Shalosh Nosim Shalovshu Chalok Echad. And remember, the Mishnah said absolutely nothing about Bedikus. Benimtza Olav Dam. Oh, he adds Zu Acher Zu. Okay, so let's say there were 3 days consecutively, three women, each one got their day wearing this Chalok. And now after 3 days, we find the Kesem on the Chalok. What's the deal as far as Bedik is concerned? The Mishnah doesn't whisper a word about that. Yiroel Li, says the Ramban, it appears to me, Sha'af al pi shebodka zu atzma miyad umotza tahora. In this case, she made a bedika immediately after they found the kesem, and she found herself to be tahora. Kulan tmeos. Kulan tmeos. Okay, what does that mean? Shadova karov litlos ba yoser mi chavruseha. Shekol hametzius, or kol at the different gersos here apparently, kol atumos b'makom mitziyosan tolinoson lahachmir. Bodka miyad umotza tmeya harishonos tahoros. Bodku rishonos atzman b'shas mitziyas akesem lohoil klum. Shekvar Pashtu Oso. So this part of this Ramban I understand, and part I don't understand. Let me learn this to you together with you. We'll do it as a bitzavta, as we say. Yiroli afal pi shebodka zu atzma miyad umotza tahar is kulon tmeos. Yikes, I'm not sure what this means, kulon tmeos. I'll be honest with you, I'm very perplexed. If there are, I would have been very happy had the Ramban said ha'acheros tmeos, ha'shar tmeos, but he says kulon tmeos. I'm not sure what he means by that. And then he says shadova karov litlos ba yoser michavuseha. Again, Rabbi, you're going to have to give me a minute here because there's something. I'm looking at the wrong page here. Just 1 second. There's a kiss. At 4 o'clock this morning, I understood this. Okay, sorry. Change your motza to mayo. Rak mi yad.
I'm lost here
in this Ramban. I apologize. I don't know if I have the right Ramban here. Maybe there's another Ramban here. Again, let me just read it one more time and then I'm going to have to go on. He says the following. Shalosh Noshim Shalovshu Chalok Echad. So again, as far as, let's just review so I don't lose the forest for the trees. As far as the first, the second, and the third Mishnayos are concerned, as far as the third Mishnah is concerned, where she finds herself to be Tahora, the Ramban clearly says that she has to make the Bedika Miyad. if somebody could be really kind enough here, compassionate, and get me a Rambam that's right behind this door, otherwise I have to get it. So John, you want to do that for me? Which one? Again, I shouldn't be mishtamish with the Talmud Chacham.
No,
just the Rambam Isurei Bio, which is in Sefer Kedusha. Go out this door. It's right here when you turn, just so that. And I'm going to ask you to do me another favor and open up the Rambam. And the Ramban is saying that in the case of a bedik of an imtzeis tahora, correct, that she had to have done the bedika miyad.
Right.
Correct? In other words, we don't have that in our Mishnah. Correct? We don't have it in our Gemara. If you can open up to the Rambam in Isurei Bia, Perek Tes Halacha, it's not clear to me whether it's Halacha Beis. I'll take a look in the Rambam and I'll let you know. You'll let me know where the case where she does a bedika. In any event, with regard to Matzah Tmeah, that's the second Mishnah, the middle Mishnah. The Gemara says in the name of Rav that she had to have made the bedika immediately. Kishir Vest. When we got to the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph, correct? There, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about when did she make this bedika, correct? It just says, Bodka Atzma v'nimtzeis tahora hi tahora ushtayim tmeos.
Because we're not
sure it's the right parak.
I think it should be Perek Tes. Okay?
Because we're talking about Chalukah now, Rebbe.
Perek Tes. But I'm not sure if it's in the beginning of the parak or maybe towards the end of the parak. Take a look in Lamed Beis, maybe. Maybe it's there.
We're talking about the Chalukah now. We're not talking about the Sadin.
No, that's what I'm telling you. That there are two paragraphs here in the Ramban.
Yeah.
And I jumped ahead to the paragraph about Shalosh Nashim Shalomshu Chalok Echad.
That's
correct?
Right, so that's exactly
that's
right.
That's not relevant to us right now. That'll come in a minute. Right now I want to go back, rewind,
right,
to paragraph number Lamed Tes. Yeah. And there he's talking about Shalosh Nashim Shayishenos B'mita Achas.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Sadin now.
We're talking about the Sadin. And here the Ramban says that in the case of Tahora, Abad Kaktsum, it says Tahora, which is the third Mishnah, right, she made the Bedika Miyat. I'll read it to you again. This is Lamed Tes. He says, Bodka achas mem miyad u'matza tahora chaverta lo bodka is tola ha-tahora bizu shalo bodka. She can point her finger, her accusing finger, at the one who did not make a bedika and say, look, I made a bedika, I'm tahora, you're tmeah, and this kesem belongs to you. But again, the Ramban preconditions it with miyad, bodka miyad. Okay then? So let's just summarize Lamed Tes for our purposes. The Ramban is saying that just like in the Mishnah of Matzah, bodka u'matzah atzma tmeah, it's only if she found herself to be tmeah miyad, and we're using the shita of Rabbi Yudah Marav and Bar Poda that it's got to be Tol Kedei Shir Veses. So too, says the Ramban, in the case of the third Mishnah, where she was Bodka Atzma Motzas Atzma Tahora, and now she could be Tola the Kesem on the other one who didn't make a Bedika, says the Ramban, the stipulation, the condition is the same. It's got to be Miyad. In other words, immediately after she found the Kesem. And the Rivid, which we're going to see here quoted, as I told you, I don't have the original, but we're going to see it quoted in a minute in the Beis Yosef. The Ravid is of the opinion that the Mishnah did not make, or the Sugya did not make that qualification in the case of Matzah Tahora, that Tliya only operates when she did the Bedika Miyad. And why was that omitted? Because there are two different dinim here. There's one din of Matzah Tameah, and there's another din of Matzah Tahora. If she was Matzah Tameah, then we have to link up that bedika with the mitzias hakesem. That's the function of miyad. When I say miyad, I mean kishir veses. But in the case of bad gasma of nimsis tahora, that's already a different din, and she's tahora even if it wasn't miyad. Now again, what does that mean if it wasn't miyad? Was it a week later? Was it an hour later? I don't know. We're going to have to analyze that. That's what the Bach is going to try to decipher here on the Beis Yosef. But together with the Beis, on the same page as the Beis Yosef. But before we get to the Bach, let's just understand the compelling logic here of the Baal HaMor against the Ramban. Who gave the Ramban the authority to extend this condition of Miyad from Tmeya to Tahora? In the case of Tahora, she's Tahora. She made a Bedika. She found herself to be Tahora. Then why can't she be told of the Kesem on somebody else? On somebody else. Again, we're not going to be told of the Kesem on somebody else if there's no reason, there's no logic to say that that one is the guilty one. But here there is a logical reason, because she made a bedikah and she found herself to be tahora. Therefore, there's no condition, there's no precondition of miyad. Now, if we can find the Rambam, let's see. Yeah, the Rambam says shalosh nashim shalavshu chalok echad zuachar zu v'yakach nimtzo alav kesem v'chein im yoshnu b'mita achas ke'echad. V'nimtza dam tachas achas men kulam tmeos. V'imbodka achas mehen es atzma miyad u'motza atzma tmea harei hashtayim tahoros. Okay. Now, where's the case of motza tahora? Vodka achas umotza atzma tahora v'chaverta lo vodka tola ha-tahora v'zusha lo vodka v'zusha lo vodka t'meya. What did the Rambam omit here? Miyad. Did you hear it?
Right.
In Lamed Beis, when he talks about nimtze vodka umotza atzma t'meya, he says miyad. But in Halacha Lamed Hey, when he talks about Bodka Achas Umotza Atzma Tahora, he doesn't mention the word Miyad. I would place the Rambam into the camp of the Baal HaMor, namely that the Bedika of Tahora is not Miyad. Whenever it is, I don't know. We have to figure out when it was, but it's not Miyad.
Because it's a weak proof of anything. Negative thing doesn't prove anything.
Well, on the contrary, I think what we're saying is if you drop the requirement of miyad, are you with me on the same page? In the case of matzah tahora,
right.
Then you're not saying it's a weak proof. You're saying it's a very strong proof. It's so strong that I don't even need that restriction, that limitation of miyad. Meaning the tliya here is going to operate in a broader base and apply even though habadika was not miyad. I can still activate tliya. Why? Because I found her to be Tahora. If she's Tahora, then the others are Tmeos. Yeah, but the question is she Tahora as far as this Kesem is concerned? And the answer is that if she made the Bedika within a reasonable amount of time, that's what the Bach is going to try to decipher for us, past the Kesem, right, beyond the Kesem, then we have a right to assume that that Kesem has nothing to do with her because she made a Bedika and she found herself to be Tahora. But you don't have this restriction of miyat. In the case of Nimtzeis Tmeya, when we have to say that this Tumah already began at the time of the Kesem, then there has to be some linkage between the Mitzias HaTumah, meaning the Bdika, and the Mitzias HaKesem, and the linkage or the agent to achieve that linkage is going to be miyat. Kishir Kesem.
I don't understand the question for miyad. If it's an hour later and she finds she's just a tameya, why can't you be told on that? Remember, it's a whole rabbanan business.
Okay, so that's going to be the rush. But again, if I'm resisting the rush at this point, because I haven't yet invited him into the classroom, what I'm saying is that, okay, she's Tmeya, but what does that have to do with the Kesa? You have to prove to me that there's some reason she didn't see the Dam earlier. You know, you're telling me that Kesa was hers, so why did she find the Dam now?
Because she made a Bedika now.
But we don't have any reason to assume that it would have occurred at the time of the Kesa.
Right. Maybe she became Tmeya now.
She's in Dominic now. Oh, it was now.
Meaning a woman has a cheskas.
You have to use a little bit of logic.
Right. But the logic here is that she has a cheskas tahara, which tells me that she won't see a kesan. Now she made a bedika.
All three have such a chazaka.
Correct. But my focus now is on the one who found herself to be Tmeya.
Okay.
So the Gemara's logic is that, okay, she found herself to be Tmeya. What does that have to do with the Kesem? Meaning that Kesem is not hers. Why do we resist assuming that the Kesem is hers? We're going to resist that because she had a cheskes tahara no less than the others. Now
but
her
now
situation changed.
Exactly.
But now she, all of a sudden, you know, her mayan opened and she has a Yetzias Adam. But it doesn't mean that beforehand she had a Yetzias Adam. I mean, in other words, Rabbi, let me give you an extreme case. Again, I don't know if this pedagogically helps or doesn't help. But let's say she waited a week. And a week later, she made a bedika and she found herself to be Tmeya.
No,
I'm just saying what we're up against here. You know, this is our challenge. You have so many different time zones here to assume that because a woman is Tmeya today, therefore yesterday, or the day before, or a week before, or an hour before. Where do you draw the line? At what point do you say that she was already Tmeya before the Dam was coming out of her Makar, and that's why the Kesem was there? Okay, so you're going to use the logic of the Rosh that, you know, we're dealing with the Rabbanans here. I mean, the whole institution of Kesem is anyway the Rabbanans, so let's be makeup. But I was hoping to get to the Rosh when we get to the Rosh. Meaning I'm trying to follow kind of like a Seder here. But before we get to the Rosh, in the Gemara itself, what we're saying is that we want to know bivados that at the time of the Kesem, she was already Tmeya. And what we found is that Bar Poda could accomplish that goal for us. How could he accomplish that goal for us? Because Bar Poda says that when a woman makes a bedika miyad, then we know that she was vadei tmeya a second before the miyad. And therefore the Baal has to bring a chatos and sorfin is a truma. The Gemara right now is applying that same logic to Tlia by saying that the woman who made a bedika and found herself to be tmeya was already tmeya before that, 1 second earlier. In other words, the distance in time between the Metzias HaKesem and the Bedika Sheninseis Tmeya is one split second. I'm just using that to dramatize it. That's called Kishir Veses. It's a little bit more than a second.
It's not a din of Tlia.
Maybe it's not a din of Tlia at all. Maybe it's not a din of Tlia at all. But it's a din of Tlia in the sense that once we assume that Kesem is hers, what we're going to assume is it doesn't belong to the other two.
Okay, that's not Tlia.
Okay, maybe it's not Tlia. I don't know. I'm still moving very slowly. You're ahead of me.
If she goes out of bed, she goes to the bathroom, she makes a bedika in the bathroom, that's not Mia.
So it seems from the Gemara, again, before the Rosh, your head is with the Rosh, you know what I'm saying? Tarti Vashma, right? But before the Rosh comes into the picture, the impression you get, and that's why I mentioned to you this Pisrei Nida, who's quoted here, the assumption is that Rav Oshia is not going to do it for us. What do I mean? That the Mishnah is reflecting, when it says that Tlia operates because she made a bedika and she found herself Tmeya, the Mishnah is operating with Bar Poda, meaning she made a bedika miyat. Rav Oshia is out. Why? Because Rav Oshia still leaves us in the dark. We don't know if that Kesem that she saw, found a minute ago, belongs to her. We don't know that. Why? Because according to Bar Poda, with the exception of the case of the Shamash, which was Ma'akiv the Dam, if we don't have that variable, then Kishir Vesa, says Rav Oshi, is only a Suffolk. And for some reason, says the Pisrei Nida, the Gemara is assuming that Tlia requires a Vadai. It's not enough of a suffix. Now, here's where the Rosh is going to say, and I could read your mind, and you're 100% correct, that, wait a minute, who needs a vadai? Why not use a suffix? We're dealing with the Darabonin anyway. Maybe that kesem belongs to her. And if you have a reason logically that tells you that maybe it belongs to her, that leaves the other two ladies out of the picture. But I'm trying to get to the Rosh because I first want to get to the Ramban. The Ramban's chiddush is that even the case of Tahora, to allow the Tahora who found herself to be Tahora to blame the Kesem on the other two ladies, even there I need a Miyad. And here's where the Beis Yosef is going to quote the Ravid from his work of Tmim Dea, that the Ravid disagrees with the Ramban. And in the case of Nimtzeis Tahora, she doesn't have to worry about this Kesem. Let her blame the Kesem on the other two ladies, which I think you would very much advocate in favor of this Ravid. You know, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a Kesem. I need a Tliya for this Kesem. Why not be told on the other ones? They didn't make a Bedik and find themselves to be Tahora. And here we don't have to go as far as Miyad is concerned. And there are two dinim here. In Tumah, you want to say that moment of Metzias Adam is related to Leah, to that specific woman who made a bedikah, found herself to Tzveya. So we have Bar Padra. Bar Padra is willing to make that connection when it's Miyad. But in the case of Tahora, if she finds herself to be Tahora, why am I restricted to the Miyad? So what I'm going to try to do now, and again, I apologize, it'll take me a little bit of time, is to find the exact line in the Beis Yosef that's most relevant to us. And I would say the following. He says, Sholosh Nashim. Alright, we're back to Siman Kuf Tzadi. Sholosh Nashim Sheyoshnu Bemita Achas Umishulavos Vaglayam Urovos Okay. See, I'm trying to weed out the sugya here because there's an aspect of the sugya here which, Alan, you were bothered by 2 days ago about it was found under one of them.
Right.
So, but again, you know, I'm just afraid that we're going to get so mivulbal here if we don't sift out the two issues here. Somehow the Gemara is going to solve that issue of it's irrelevant where and in what proximity to which one of the three ladies you found that kesem. That's a sugya unto itself, which I'm not interested in. There are many different dimensions to that sugya about what mishulavos is and what tchufos is and what dvukos is, and it keeps going on and on. So I'm trying to sift that out for us so that we can get to our part of the sugya. Botka achas u'motza tmeya. Hacheros tolos ba vehein tahoros. Mishnah samachom in beis. Botka achas u'motza tmeya. Hi tmeya ushtehen tahoros.
It's by Chavukah or by Shabbat?
No, this is, I think, in the bed. This is the case of the bed.
Okay.
So, before we get to the Beis Yosef, I got to backtrack again. Says the tour. Kosav Ramban, Hod Talinon Biosa Shemotza Tmea Litaris Acheros Vechem Hod Mitarinon Liosa Shemotza Tahora Dafka Shebodka Miyad Takev Limitsia Sadam Aval Im Shasa. Okay, now he has a whole discussion here about Shasa. Alan, you may remember this from Monday. Kidei Shir Bdika, he means an internal inspection, but Kidei Shetikanech Bechorin Ubistokin, that takes a longer period of time, is then Ein HaBdika Moeles.
because it's not connected.
Okay, that's before the rush. Again, all this is before the rush. He says here, "Umashikos b'shem Ramban." The hod talina osa shenimsa tmeo letaris achayus v'chein hod b'tarina li osa shematzat Torah dafka shebodka miyad takef lemitzias adam. Kain kosav gam kain harashba b'toras habayis b'taima. So what's the reason for this Ramban and the Rashba? Mishum da hod tnan bodka achas mehen v'nimtza. Umotzat meyo, he tmeyo shtein Torahs, omrav Yehuda mara, vahushim bod katzbe kishir veses. Visavala kibar pada. Meaning that our Mishnah that allows for Tliya is standing on the shoulders of our pada. The omar shebaila bechatos, tarosea tahoro, tmeyos. Upirish rashi vahushim bod katzbe kishir veses, shal mitziosa, of the finding of the kesen. Hilkoch machzakinon high dam, meaning the dam on the sadin, bidido. Ve'inoch and the other two are tahoros. And then he goes on and on to say that according to our poda, there's a tumah vadai. That's why he brings a chatos and you burn the tmeos. He says, lefi ze pshita. It seems that if we are codifying la halacha, this Mishnah with the qualification of Rav that it has to be a bedika miyad, lo kaimalon karev oshia, el kebar poda, demasnisen kavase. And since the Mishnah says bodka atzma means toch veses, is li acher zman ein bedika zu mitaheres eschaverta mino meschaverta. Says Ramban, nishma mino, let's derive from that by process of analogy, dehu adin lebodka atzma motza tahora, the dafka motza atzma bodka atzma tok shir veses. Then we say she's tahora. V'li achar mikan, ein mitzias atzma tahora. Kedai lo chiach shelo ba dam ze mimena. Okay. Now the only thing is, I was hoping he would quote the Ravid here. So far, I'm not finding the Ravid. Because the Ravid is the one who's going to say that in the case of Tahora, it doesn't have to be a Bedika Miyat.
For Matzah Tahora.
Matzah Tahora, it doesn't have a Bedika Miyat, and I'm trying to find where he quotes the Ravid. Shabbat with the Beis Yosef, as you know, he goes on and on and on. Probably right in front of my nose. Oh, Zelishon Razah. Now, here's what happens. The Ravid wrote a book called Bali Anefesh, and the Bala Mar wrote Hasagos on the Ravid. And as far as I can tell you now, we'll see if I'm right or not, the Ravid holds exactly like the Ramban. So everything that we said until now in the name of the Ramban has also been presented by not only the Rashba that we saw before in Torah Sabbais, but also by the Ravid. And now the Bala Mar is critiquing the Ravid. If I understand correctly, let's see if the language bears me out. V'zeh lashon harazah al meaning in his critique, al sefer bali hanefesh. He tells you in parentheses is in shar haksomim os aleph. Bidin hacholuk in bodka achrona shehi lov shaso kishir veses shel mitzia umotza hi tahora. Okay, so this is not the balabar that I wanted, because again I'm always trying to sift out the various sugyas here, and that's not the one I want, although that, again, that's going to be relevant to us. I'm just trying to get the sequence here. God goes, my money to Shem Ramban who shabodka atzma miyad Yisharoa kesem b'yod shem shokvos b'mita v'chein das harayvit v'harashpa. So again, he quotes, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ravid and the Rashba agreeing with the Ramban that in the case of Bodka Asma Matzah Tahora, it was Miyad. The Bedika was Miyad. But where does he quote the Balamor to disagree with this Ramban? It's got to be here in this paragraph, but for some reason I'm not finding it. So I don't find this. So for that, I'm going to have to find the Sefer Tmim Deim and Sharak Sonin. Or perhaps it's in the Balei HaNefesh of the Ravid. I don't know. I don't have access now to the Balei HaNefesh. Again, if the Kol was here, or any of the members of the Kol, I would ask them if they have the Sefer Balei HaNefesh. But I don't want to slow you down. So let me just assume that according to the Baal Amar, which is in the Sharak Somim Os Aleph on the Balei HaNefesh, he's going to say that in the case of Bodka Atzma V'Nimtzeis Tahora, you don't need Miyad. And we came to that conclusion from the Rambam, because the Rambam leaves out the word Miyad when he gets to Bodka Atzma V'Nimtzeis Tahora. Now let's go on to the next part of the sugya. The first Mishnah, where they wore the same chalok bazu achar zu. What happens now?
V'Nimtzeis Tahora, you say.
So we said that they're all tmeis, correct? The Mishnah says it. The question is, would bedika be meaningful here? So he says, the Beis Yosef, in the name of the Ramban, that there is a possibility of tliya even in the first Mishnah, but only with regard to the third woman who wore the chaluk. Because the Ramban sheet, as we said before, is that you always need miyad, a bedika miyad. Now, with regard to the first two ladies, you can't get a bedika miyad, because they only found the kesem after the third woman wore the chaluk. So if the third woman did a bedika, and she found herself to be either tmeo or tahora, then we could apply the principle of tliya, meaning if she found herself to be tmeo, then the first two ladies could be told on her. If she found herself to be Tahora, she could take herself out of the Suffolk, and then only the first two ladies are going to be Tmeos. Did I get that right? I think I got that right. So, Be'ish Achrona im miyad kishenit motza asakesem bodka umotza Tmeo, is then the Rishonos, the first two, can be Tola on her, on the Shlishis. Fine. That makes sense. Now, what happens if the third lady to wear the Chalok Motza Es Atzma Tahora, then once again she has to be Tahora because she made that Bedika Miyad after finding the Kesem. Avos Rishtei Noshim Rishonos Heim Kvar Poshtus HaBeged is aimed b'dikosam smucha l'levisha sabegin, and therefore they don't have that miyad, and their b'dika is going to be meaningless. And on this we're going to have a major kasha of the Magid Mishnah. How could this be that all these dinim of b'dika would apply to the first Mishnah, and the Mishnah didn't whisper a word about it. That's, you know, Iker Chasim in a Mishnah. In any event, the Rambam seems to assume that the dinim of Bedika apply to the case of Chalok no less than they apply to the case of Shlosha Sheyoshnu B'mita Achas. Sam, I trouble you just to keep it open if you can, because you never know if we'll need it, but put it on a different table. And let's see the Rambam. The Rambam says, Shalosh Nashim Shalavshu Chalok Echad Zu Achar Zu V'Yachakach Nimtzal Av Dam V'Chein Im Yashnu V'Mita Achas. Correct? Then the Rambam says, Im Bodka Achas Mehen, and it's going on both of these cases, meaning both of the Mishnayos, whether it's Chalok Echad or Shalosh Nashim V'Mita Achas, V'Nimtzeis Tmeya Harashtaim Tahoros. So the Rambam doesn't seem to specify which one of the three ladies did this bedika, and he applies the din of Tliya straight across the board, even to the first Mishnah. And again, that's going to be a very difficult position, because the Mishnah says nothing about bedika. Now, the Beis Yosef quotes the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba, and he wants to say the following. It all depends what was the result of this bedika. If the result of the bedika was that she was tmeya, then the Ramban says that that bedika is only meaningful if it was implemented by the achrona, by the third one who wore the chalok on Tuesday. But the first two women, if any of those two ladies found a bedika tmeya, that wouldn't generate any sort of tliya to remove the tumah from the others, because it was never, as the Ramban says, it was never miyad. We can only conceive of miyad vis-a-vis the third lady. However, says the Torah Sabayis, as far as nimtzeis tahora, that should operate in any of the three women, even in the case of Bazu Achar Zu. In other words, the Rashba is agreeing with the Ramban against the Rambam on one point, but he's agreeing with the Rambam against the Ramban on the other point. Meaning, he's going to assume against the Rambam that in the case of the Chalok, it's only the last one's bedikas tumah, I call it, that is relevant to tliya. The Rambam doesn't make that qualification. He assumes that the bedikas are universal, no matter what the results of the bedika was, and they apply to all three women equally. It doesn't matter which one of the women made the bedika. That's the Rambam shita. The Ramban, and here the Rashba is agreeing with the Ramban, are maintaining together that if it's a matzah tmeya situation, then it's only as far as the shlishis is concerned. The Ramban went a step further and he said that even if matzah tahora, that's only the shlishis. However, the Rashba holds that matzah tahora applies to all three women. Now it comes out that according to the Rambam, all these dinim of bedika apply equally to the first Mishnah as they do to the second and the third Mishnayos. According to the Rashba, it comes out that the third Mishnah of Nimtzeis Tahora goes back on the first Mishnah, and again, it doesn't matter which one of the three finds herself to be Tahora, whereas with regard to the middle Mishnah, Mishnah number 2, which deals with the case where she found herself to be Tmeya, that doesn't go back to the first Mishnah, because there the Rashba agrees to the Ramban that as far as Nimtzeis Tmeya is concerned, that's only vis-a-vis the third lady, the Shlishis. Let's see if I got that right. Yeah, the Ramban says that as far as the first Mishnah of Chalok Bazecher Zeh, that's only, and Matzah, Bodka Matzah Tmeah, that's only the Ishach Rona. So in that sense, the second Mishnah of Bodka Atzma Minitzeh Tmeah could not be qualifying the first Mishnah, because the second Mishnah says any of the three women can make the Bedika, and if she finds herself to be Tmeah, that activates the principle of Tliya. Whereas the first Mishnah, according to the Ramban, only applies in Matzah Tmeah, only applies if the last lady who wore the Chalok, because again the Ramban is interested in the Miyad. The Ramban again consistently says that Matzah Tahora would only apply to the third lady. And that's again the Ramban Lashitos, because it's Miyad. Here the Rashba disagrees. So the Rashba is on board with the Ramban as far as Nimtzeis Tmeah, meaning the second Mishnah, as far as that qualifies the first Mishnah, it's Dafka the Achrona, which breaks up the continuity between the second Mishnah, which allows for Tliya in any one of the three candidates here for Bdika, whereas the first one is only the last one who wore the Chalok. However, the Rashba agrees that the third Mishnah, naming Nimtzeis Tahora, applies to the first Mishnah of Chalok with regard to all three ladies. And any one of those three ladies who makes a Bedika can remove herself from the Safek Kesem and be tolled on the other three. So the Magen Mishnah points out it's very choppy over here, that according to the Rashba, the third Mishnah goes back to the first Mishnah, qualifying it, but the second Mishnah doesn't qualify the first Mishnah. Very strange that Rebbe should have organized the Mishnayis in such a way. Bishlam, according to the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that all these dinim of Bedika apply to the first Mishnah, so you could say that the first Mishnah gives a stoma, and then the second and third Mishnahis qualify not only their case, but also the case and the scenario in the first Mishnah. So that's what the Beis Yosef says. Bidina Chalok, which is the first Mishnah, in Bodka Achrona, Shehi Lovshaso Kishir Veses Shel Mitzia Umatza Tahora Hi Tahora Vikulan Tmeos Venir Mitvarv Tahadi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav Vishe Bodka Atzma Kishir Veses Shel Mitzia. I guess where she found herself to be Tmeo Akula Masnisen Koi the ano ain lano ella aresha demasnisin kishibodko umatza tmeav or bodko umatza tahora lo nemar boshir. So this halach of miyad only applies according to the Balamar if she finds herself to be tmea. But if she finds herself to be tahora, then afil yachas man she can remove herself from the sofa and be tola on the others. And here we have the Bach. But we have here the Tur, who says, Adoni Ovi Arash Zal Kosav. And basically we have the Rush in front of us, so let's just look at the Rush. The Rush says that... Okay, so this is Simon Gimel. Di Ein Chiluk Bein Shir Veses... Ubeinli achar shir veses. This whole requirement that the bedika, which generates the din of tli, has to be kishir veses, has to be miad, that doesn't apply. Just 1 second.
Kavosa, can you show me to close the door, please?
So again, getting back to the Rush, Ein chiluk bein shir veses ubein liachar shir veses to le'inyan taharos afilu b'shir veses tahorosea tluyos. That's Rav Hoshea. Correct? And he says the logic of Rav Oshi is dim isa ledame kara mima akve. Why did she find it now? So even if she made a bedik immediately, we're going to assume, based on again the cheskes tahara, that she only now became tmeya. Or at the best, in the best case scenario, we put the two chazokas pitting them, you know, like the mikveh that was mole and now it's chaser, and we pit them one against the other. We have a suffix. We don't know whether or not she was tmeya at the time that she was osekas pitaros. Therefore, it's taroset tluyos. And nevertheless, says the Rosh, we can still apply the principle of tluya. Imke masnisin di amra di tolos ba. Which means that she could only, we could only apply the din of Tliya if it was miyad. This was Rabbi Sachnowitz's point. Halach achra mekil. V'talina afil liachar shir veses lekesem animtza betuma. The ode, he says, Afilu lebarpada lo domu kuli haya dodi, the bishlem of bitaros, kevan de bishir veses, achashi yotsu hataros mitachas yoda, bodka umotsa dam aminen vadai necro mimena, be ode hataros be yoda aval hocha, afal bishir bodka atzma kishir veses, shel mitzia. And this is Alan, your point. When she make the bedika kishir veses of the mitzias hakesem, ein roi shenitle dam hamitzia ba. There's no reason to be told the dam that she found on the bedika. The shema yotze kvar me achas mehen. Maybe the dam came much earlier. So the Rosh is saying, I don't understand. How are you learning this sugya? You're learning the sugya of Bar Pada to say that you need a vadai in order to activate Tliya. That's impossible. You can't maintain that position, says the Rosh. Why? Because you'll never get a vadai. Why won't you get a vadai? You can get a Shas Vesta vadai in the case of, let's say, she was Osekas Pitaros, and now she found herself dam immediately because Shas Vesta, but here we're talking about a Kesem. And therefore, from the time the dam came out until she found the kesem, that takes a while. V'yeshiyosem mikashir veses miyitzias oso adam. Yitzi, I think, means mi minamokar ad lebdika shel zos. Is afilu haki? Nevertheless, the Mishnah says explicitly tailinin ba. The answer must be the makilinim b'ksamim, that there must be a kula in ksamim, that we don't need a vada. Imkein hu adin liachar shir veses. He doesn't tell you again what the shir is. But sometime after the shir veses, and although that would only generate a suffix, that's enough to activate the din of tliya.
But it seems to me like maybe you could explain it by when the kesem is found, there are all three of them are within suffix mea. And what happens is, if in miyad there's a bedika with one of them, so and if she's found there's no dam, she immediately becomes a vadai and a vadai tahora, and because she's a vadai tahora, she can be tola on the other two.
Right. So I just want to point out that the Ramban qualifies your statement. He says, "Bamedvarim, when does she become? When can she become a vadai tahora?
Only
miyad.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Rosh is going to argue, what do you gain by miyad over here? Miyad doesn't really help you because it's got to be miyad, you know, related to the yitzias adam. So it's really not a miyad. In other words, the Ramban's thrust is that there's something called a shas mitzias hakesem, and the din of ksamim and the tumas ksamim, which was established by the Rabbanan, only begins with mitzias hakesem.
Right.
Anything before that is irrelevant. We're not going to go back to the moment, which we don't know about, when the dam came out. So the Rabbanan were mitami what? The mitzias hakesem. Right. That's the tumah. Now she makes a bedika when? Miyad. That's the Ramban sheet. Right. Now, says the Ramban, that's fine and dandy in the case of Sholosh Nashim Sheyoshnu B'mita Achas. then any one of these three women could be a candidate for a bedika biyat, because whenever that moment of metzias hakesem is, now it's a race to get your eight bedika and see who can make a bedika biyat. However, in the case of chaluk, it's only the last one. And that's the sheet of whom? Of the Ramban. The Baal HaMor, on the other hand, says that in Nimtzeis Tahora, in that case, which is the third Mishnah, there's no qualification of Miyad at all. So you have like these two extremes here. You have the Ramban on the one hand, who's not willing to budge on Miyad at all, straight through. Whether it's Nimtzeis Tmeo, it's got to be Miyad. Whether it's Nimtzeis Tahora, it's got to be Miyad. You have on the other side the Baal HaMor, says that in the case of Nimtzeis Tahora, we don't need Miyad.
Yeah, but then the Baal HaMor could say, why was all this? So let the other two make bedikas, and that's finished. And they'll make bedikas in the
correct, but that's that again, that is right, but with one qualification, we have to figure out what the Shear of Zman is, which is going to be the box business here.
Right.
Okay, the box business.
But on the other hand, the flip side is, if she's Nimtzeis Tmeo, so she did Miyad. So it doesn't get them off the hook.
Just one second. I'm listening with one ear because I just wanted to see if the Bach will give us a little bit of a framework here. I think he's talking about, but I'm not finding it right now, the shear of Bedika of Bechor Nustakin.
I think that's the next step. That sounds like the other shear.
But let's put the rush into this whole cholent over here, right? The rush is going to say that let's introduce Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia is willing, according to the rush, to apply to activate Tliya even if we don't have Miyad. And why is that? Because we want to be Mekil in Ksamen. So it means, whereas all the other Rishonim that we saw until now were, at least in the case of Nimtzeis Tmeah, were for sure adding this condition in order to activate Tliya of Miyad, the Rush is the first Rishon that we have that breaks through this. Here Rabbi Yudom Arav made such a big deal about Bar Pada that we have to, in order to activate this Tliya, we need a Vadai, and that could only be Kishir Veses Miyad, Bedika Kishir Veses. Comes along the Rush and he throws it all out. Let's Paskin like Rav Oshia, and let's assume that you can reconcile our Mishnah, I'm talking now specifically about the middle of Mishnah, with Rav Hoshea. And therefore, even if the Bdika wasn't Miyad, even if we're left with a Safek, that's enough for Tliya. And the Halach is like Rav Hoshea, and he activates the principle of Biksamim Halach Achar HaMekil. And therefore, in the case of Nimtzeis Tmeo, the middle Mishnah, Ein Tzorech Miyad.
Why wouldn't they say, if that's the case, you're looking for a kula because it's all Drabbanan anyways?
That's exactly what the Rush is saying.
Why if they all three made bedikas that they're all tomatoes?
There's one cardinal rule that we cannot violate. There's got to be some inclination or some logical justification to blame one or the other. That if they're all in the same boat, we saw that even in the case of three Mubaros, if you remember. They all made a Bedika and they found themselves to be Tahoros.
Right.
And they're all Mesulek as Dov, and they're all three Tmeos because of that case.
You
can't go Lekula against logic. Again, you cannot maintain a position that is absolutely impossible to maintain. There's no other Tliya here. There's no Makoles. There's no Shuk. There are three ladies in a pod. Right? And if you found the Kesem, one of them is Tmeah. You can't possibly say that they're all Tahoros. That's not an option. That's the cardinal rule here in this sugya.
Okay.
But what the Rush does want to prove to us is, even if you'll resist that we paskin like Rav Oshia, which means that we will allow in Ksamim to make a bedika, find herself to be Tahora, even if it's not Kishir Veses, and therefore the status here is Suffolk. Let's be told on Suffolk. What are you going to say? You're going to say, no, we're going to paskin like Bar Poda. Says the Rosh, even if you paskin like Bar Poda, you're going to have to confess that we're dealing with a Kula in Ksamim, because what's Bar Poda going to help you here? He's going to get you through Kishir Veses of Miyad, a Bedika that connects to what? To the Metzias HaKesem. Right. But that doesn't tell you a thing about when this kesem, when the dam was yotzei migufa, when did this kesem begin? You know, maybe it began at the beginning of the night, and they found the kesem, they discovered it only at the end of the night. And in such a case, where are you going to get a yediyah vados? You know, she made a bedika at the end of the night, or almost with daybreak. So what does that tell you about the kesem that was already there at the beginning of the night? So the miyad business is a facade, it's a fake. And therefore, we're going to have to assume that even according to Bar Poda, we're dealing with Ksamim Derabanan, and therefore we're going to be Mekil in Ksamim Derabanan. How far are we going to be Mekil? So then Bar Poda is going to say, well, you need it Kishir Vesis, but it's a funny kind of requirement here, because you're going to have to be Machadish Chidushim in terms of what and how Ksamim operates. At what point does the Kesem... What do you say? Okay. So let me just read to you the following. Again, just because we're running out of time, and I want to see if in the next 5 minutes we can accomplish one more thing, because I'm always trying to get to the finish line. I keep pushing. I want to start Shabbos, and I keep pushing it off because I wanted to finish the Sugya Nida of Tliya. It says the following. According to the Ramban and the Ravid, we're operating within the framework of Tliya B'Ksamim, and we could be Tola based on the assumption that the Kesem came now, right? Even though we didn't know anything about the Kesem, and maybe it came 8 hours ago, 9 hours ago, but we don't know that. And therefore, below Yediyah, we're going to work with the assumption that the Kesem came now. And therefore, if she makes a bedika immediately after the Metzias HaKesem and she finds herself to be Tmeya, like the Shitas Bar Poda that generates a Vadai, then if the Vadai goes back to 1 minute before the bedika, we're going to be Tolaba, we know that she was Tmeya at the time of the Metzias HaKesem, and that's the way the Ramban learns it, and the Ramban extends that to the case of Nimtzeis Tahora. There too we need a vadai that the Nimtzeis Torah was b'sman b'shas Metzias HaKesem, then we can assume that Kesem definitely is not related to her because she found herself to be Tahora, and therefore we could blame it on one of the other two ladies. And even though, again, there's some sort of magical kula over here in Hilchus Ksamim that we're going to apply the principle that the moment that we find out about the Kesem, that's the critical moment as far as Hilchus Ksamim is concerned. There's no Tumas Ksamim that requires us to go back and say, well, we didn't have a Yediya, but she had already the Dam earlier. The Rush is not willing to tolerate this because he assumes that according to Bar Pod, if you want to generate a Vadai, you got to go back to the moment of Yetzias Dam Migufa, because that's the moment that's going to generate, according to Bar Pod, a chiyuv chatos and a din vadei and taras of sofer and olav sataras, and all that means that after the dam was, in other words, that the dam was found by this bedika immediately according to Bar Poda, immediately after she had the tashmish, or immediately after she was osekes bataros, and here we're going to say it's got to be miyah. However, the Rosh is going to argue now, what about the case of Taros, right? The case of Taros, what happens? So the case of Taros, she was Osekes Petaros, and now she does a Bedika. So if she does a Bedika, Tokedei Shir Veses, then we know that the Yetzias Adam took place a minute before, and we can be sorif esha truma. But again, if you're talking about our case of shalosh nashim b'mita achas, then you'll never get back to a vadai of shas yitzias adam. It must be that we're operating with the drabbanon and kulos in kulos in some. Now, there's a prisha here, Pei Gimel, and he introduces the concept of chazaka. He says, "Ayin bebeis Yosef shekasev duha din lebdika lebod katzav motza tahora." That according to the Ramban, we require bdika miyad, and according to the Rush, we could be mekel mitam kulas ksamim. U'mashkasev Rabbeinu bod katzav motza tmeya. L'sayim makom shekasev harosh kainis kavein lo lahotzi v'diku matzah tahora ulanias daiti nira de kol shkein hi im moelis v'dikas chavrita shem matzah atzma t'meya li'achar zman. If you're going to tell me like the Rush that you can even delay the v'dikas shem matzah t'meya and yet t'li operates u'kmina le'achazaka, we're going to assume a chazaka. And what does that chazaka tell me? That she... I think he means the chazaka, the hashta, that now she finds herself to be tmeya, so we assume she was tmeya before. U'moelis chazkosa l'taris achiros, is kal v'chomer, Demoelis bedikas osan noshu tzeis nafshin tahoros liachar zman shetol chazkosel lataris atzman, because there they have a cheskas tara. In other words, if cheskas tara de meikara. So I think what the prisha is pointing out over here is the following: that if we operate midin chazaka da hashta, in the case where she finds herself to be tmeya, that's going to tell me that she was tmeya l'mafreya. And kolshken, if you operate with the chazaka d'hashta, I'm sorry, the chazaka d'meikara, in a case where she finds herself to be tahora, and therefore, if we paskin like Rav Oshi according to the Rush, then even in the case of safek, where she makes a bedika, we could be mekel, and we rely on the chazaka. And we always rely on the chazaka l'kula. Whether it's in the case of nimtzeis tmeya, and there the kula is going to be that the chazaka to hashta tells me she was already tmeya l'mafreya, or in nimtzeis tahora, the chazaka to beikar is going to tell me that she was tahora then, and in all cases we're going to be mekel. And we said that according to the Rashba, we have to make a distinction between matzah tmeya and matzah tahora. The mitziah tahora, then the chazaka works. And we don't need miyad. Why? Because she originally had a chazaka de tara. So we know that she's tahora. Even though she only finds herself to be tahora now, but we have the chazaka to mikara, which tells me that she was tahora then, and therefore she could be tola. But in the case of nimtzeis tmeya, that's not midin chazaka, says the Rashba, because adrab, the chazaka was that she was tahora, and therefore chazaka can't tell me anything. So we need this halacha miyat, and that's the Rashba's chiluk, that in nimtzeis tmeya we need miyad, but in nimtzeis tahora we don't need miyad, because in nimtzeis tmeya, if you don't have miyad, then the chazaka works against you, because the chazaka is cheskas tara. So why should we say that this kesem came from her when she finds herself to be tmeya? That undermines tliya. But in the case of nimtzeis tahora, adarab, the cheskas meikara of tahatara works in her benefit to remove her from the suffix and say that this kesem has nothing to do with her, and therefore we don't need a bedika miyad, because we can rely on the cheskas tahor. That seems to be the logic of the Rashba.